love you. I'll be talking to you. I'll see you later on. Bye. Thank you so very much, folks, for doing that. It is a that hospital is something else down there. You go in, and it's a new hospital. And it's a different hospital than where it was at before. And you're there, and throughout the hospital, you'll hear a little chime played. I'm like, and the first time I heard it, I thought it was somebody's cell phone that I was hearing. Has a little short ringtone, a chime. And I heard it again, a little chime, and I finally, was that, And what they do is throughout that hospital, which I think is just a precious thing, they send out the chime whenever there's a baby born. And I went out and I said, well, you can tell this is a Navy town with all these sailors down here. Because, that chime was running in that place down there, I'm like, oh my goodness. I had a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Thank you so much. Today, I want to keep on working and pick up where we left off at. Today, we, and Bob, I appreciate you being here today, brother. It's God's time for you to be here today and the wonderful support. People will talk, people will say things. They say, well, why aren't you down there with him? I said, well, you tell you what, I went down there to see him, and I had probably Wednesday one of the toughest days I've ever had in my life. And then when things, even after the visit, things have changed, and I called my mom. I said, Mom, we're going to go see him again, because I told you if he stabilizes, I'd take you down to see him again. She says, you know what? She says, he is in God's hands, and when it's God's time, he'll take him home. I said, Mom, how in the world did you find such strength? She smiles. She said, well, I raised you two, didn't I? I go, and it's amazing to me how people at the toughest time can be strong, because they know where their faith is found. I believe that. I believe that that is a generation that I have had the privilege of seeing. My brother's a 26-year Navy man, worked hard all his life, wonderful things. When I look at him, and I apologize about this week and going over the things, and every time that I would try to go to a sermon note, I would constantly go back and think about my brother. And it's okay, because what I'm going to share with you today, it ties in exactly on what I feel is the strength of what God has given us here on this corner. It is the strength of Mount Calvary. It is what God, through his wisdom, has allowed to happen. I don't know why he put this gang together. And you'd never pick them out. You never put those pieces together. But God has done it. Right, Bobby? God has done it. The story we've been sharing with you is one of my favorite stories, The Prodigal Son. It's one, and I love movies where you watch the movie, and at the end, it's a happy ending. I like it when the good guy wins and puts his white hat on and rides off into the distance and the bad guy's laying down there in the dust. That's just the kind of ending I like. And up till this point in this story, it is one of the most exciting and one of the most moving, and I believe one of the happiest stories in all of God's Word, because it talks about a young man who was lost and now found. A young man that says, Father, give me what I deserve, and I want it now. his father has been talking about. He sold. He gave him his inheritance. And what did he do? Bless them, Lord, when they're on their way. He gave them his inheritance. And you know the story, he just squandered it out. But then in that return, he came to his senses. But then the most precious thing is he's coming in a far distance off. His father sees him, runs to him, and embraces him with the grace that only a father, a heavenly father, can give. It is the story of grace. It is the story of I once was lost, but now I'm found. It is a story with a happy ending. And then the most difficult part of the story takes place. The 25th verse in Luke 15. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, "What are these things meant?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." They were going to have a party. They were going to have a party like no other party that they'd had before. The 28th verse. But this older son, he was angry. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out. Once again, it's the father who makes the move. His father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father. Some of the saddest words that you'll ever read in the Bible. "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours," doesn't call him by brother, "as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him." And then sadly, his father gives him this response. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. Allow us to open up our minds and hearts and receive that special truth that you have for each one of us deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a sad story. An older brother who comes. An old brother who was caught up in one thing. Me. 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 "Father, I served you. Father, I never broke any of your commandments. I. But you never had this big party for me." We see portrayed here an older brother caught up in work. An older brother who had every opportunity. He'd already received his two-thirds inheritance. He'd already received these wonderful things. He pretty much had it all. But he never understood the grace of the Father. Here's a younger brother who's gone out and squandered everything. But because he realized in his heart of hearts who his father was, and he understood the wonderful grace that his father had when he came to him, he found the knowledge of knowing what a wonderful Father we have. The same Father that each and every one of you have, as well as I. This story was told in front of the multitude of people. And in that multitude were the Pharisees, were the Sadducees, were the who's who in the know-it-all about God. They were the learned ones, the one who could quote the scripture, the one who did the writings. They were the only ones who could read. And Jesus, in his wisdom, in this parable, in this story, he uses it to try to drive home a point about how we have a loving Father who is full of grace, who is full of wonderful love, and gets so excited when one individual who was lost is now found. How was he received? I don't know. I wasn't there. It doesn't say. I can imagine that so many kind of tossed it off with their righteous indignation. But I am here to tell you, folks, I am standing in a church where we are all simply sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. I've said it so many times, there are no superstars in God's house. We simply have different jobs to do. And through these things, the opportunities that God has given us, we do them with a spirit of thanksgiving unto Him. I love, I think we've done it twice over I don't know how many years. Barb, do you remember when the first time that Rich started to teach on the purpose-driven life? I don't know what date that was. And it's a study, Rick Warren, wonderful, wonderful thing. It's supposed to be read and studied in 40 days, and we got it done within a year. And I was so tickled with us about how we were able to move along so quickly. Isn't that right? And every week on Wednesday night, we would get together, and we would read another chapter, and we come in, and we start. And Brother Rich, the perfect timing for him to stand right here in the front, lead that study. And for those of you that may have been here for it or read the book and it comes to mind, I love the way the book begins, because the book begins by saying, it is not about me, it is not about you, it is about God. Now, if anything you get out of the sermon, if you forget that part, you go right to Kathy. And you talk to her. Because we had to print it out for her. We had to have her to over and over and over and over again. And trust me, it settled in. It has settled in. Because there are people who realize now, it's not about you. It's not about me. It is about God. I don't know what is going to happen in the next couple days, but I tell you one thing. I have a good brother. And I have a fellow who would come here. I got a picture of him. Lisa, we got to find that picture. He's sitting right here in one of these big chairs with the cutest old smile upon his face. And you know me, everybody I've kind of shared with and told, I hear the same thing. And they say, why does it have to happen to the good brother? That's all I've heard this whole week. Why does it have to happen to the good brother? And every time they do that, they make me smile. That's the way I feel. And I tell you one thing, folks. The people that you have come into your life, they do not come into your life by accident. The situations that you find yourself in, they are not perchance. God has a plan. He has a plan for each and every one of you. If you find yourself and looking into your heart and you feel like you've been that younger brother who's been out and off and running and you need to kind of get back where you belong, then you ought to talk to him. If you find yourself in the shoes of that older brother who was just simply going through the motions that never had a full realization within their heart of hearts, of the knowledge of the saving grace of our Heavenly Father, then you ought to talk to Him. I believe that the strength that we find and the strength that I have seen this week, trust me, friends, you're not supposed to take your mother to go see your brother to say goodbye. But I saw things and I came to appreciation of strength, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will have His will done. So you pray and you be strong of faith. And you simply realize what a wonderful privilege we have, each one of us, to come to the throne of grace. You realize how special it is to have that Heavenly Father who simply loves you and loves you and loves you. He even loves old Bob Mumford. And I'll tell you one thing, if that ain't a testimony right there, I don't know what is. Thank you. Thank you for bearing with me today. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We have opened your word. We have shared. God, I thank you for the peace that you're allowing to happen in the family. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today, because God, I simply wanted to be here in the house of God with the people whom I love. So God, you just have your love just spill forth everywhere throughout. You lift up hearts. You just make it okay. And God, if there are people that have things to deal with within their hearts, God, you just get a hold of them. And you just start to work in their hearts so they can call out to you and say, Heavenly Father, I love you. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building. Be your will. Bring us back to sing praises unto your name one more time. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen, amen. In just a moment, I'm going to have you stand this Wednesday night.